For truly, this is the King of the Jews. We tend to see what we expect to see, and it takes great effort to change that. Stephen Covey used to illustrate this in his classes, where he would take some students and show them a picture. And the picture was a young woman transposed over the image of an older woman. Some of you perhaps have seen this in illustrations before. But so one class, one half of the class was told to look at this picture of the young woman and describe it. And they all saw the young woman and described it. If you look at it in a different way, from a different angle, emphasizing different features, it looked like an old woman. So he told the other half of the class, tell me what you think about this picture of the old woman. They all, none of them doubted what they saw. It was an old woman. And so it was after they got together that he was able to show that there is a different perspective. You can see it a different way. And that completely changes how one would describe the picture. So in light of this, let's imagine what it was like for the first disciples, or the first people, not all of them exactly disciples, but for those who recognized Jesus as King and decided to follow him and hail him with palms. They praised him with palms. But did they really have any sense of who this Messiah was? Sure, they knew him from the witness of the scriptures. He would deliver Israel. That's what the Messiah would be. They're believing this must be the one. And they know that he's to be the son of David, as they proclaimed him as such. And they knew that this one would establish a new kingdom. And the reason why they came to him was directly because of the raising of Lazarus. And so that changed their expectation of who this Messiah would be. This was a miracle beyond their expectations, even of the Messiah. So nothing was going to stop them. They saw the raising that changed their expectation. It was a very true recognition of him. And so as blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, they would say, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And the Pharisees knew what they were proclaiming by this. So they said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. You can't take this honor upon yourself. Do you realize what they're saying of you? And he said, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. He was recognizable as a Messiah. However, could they expect the events that would follow? They couldn't imagine the cross. That was beyond their expectations. We heard from Isaiah 50 today, familiar words about how Jesus gave his face to the smiters, plucked out his beard. No one expected that applied to the Messiah. We understand what that prophesies now. That was not the expectation. They couldn't see that those words applied to the disciple because their expectation wasn't there. Certainly, if not imagining the cross, no one could imagine the resurrection, which is why in that crucifixion scene, people thought all is lost. And people thought, now we know we've proved him wrong. But there were glimmers of recognition. Even Pilate, who refused to take off the sign over his head, the King of the Jews, or the thief who confessed him on the cross, he comes closest. So, in light of this, however, we need to imagine the Messiah now. Why do I say imagine? Don't we already know the Messiah? We've just imagined what it was like to not have this expectation, to not know the cross. But certainly, you and I know who the Messiah is. We've been baptized into his death and resurrection, the very words that are said over that rite. And We know, as Peter says, that we've received what the Old Testament saints longed to look at. And we know even that he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist, as weighty as those words are. And in some very real sense, we are in the kingdom. We've received that revelation. And so we've just praised him with palms in light of that full picture, haven't we? That's what we're praising. We're praising this full Messiah as we just processed around our block. But we have to ask the question, still, do you and I really know what we are praising? So as you processed, what were you thinking about? What did you, in your mind, what were you proclaiming? Were you proclaiming that we are the churchgoers, and I hope this is a witness for those who are not in church today, driving by? That's a good thing to profess. Are you proclaiming where we stand in light of the culture wars, that we're not ashamed to confess the faith? That's a good thing to proclaim. But were you truly proclaiming Jesus of the cross? And if so, even now, if you recognize that's what we should be proclaiming, we would like to proclaim, could you even say thoroughly what that means? Is it about sacrifice? Well, what's the value of that? Is it about suffering? Well, what's the value of that? For Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that even if I give my body to be burned without love, it's worth nothing. But if we see Christ's love and we are conformed into that love and we carry the cross through love, his love working in us, then we know that the resurrection must follow that cross. This is the expectation that we're called to have. The expectation that none of us has enough. None of us have arrived, for it takes a whole lifetime, and we're still not there, becoming transformed by what this means, that the cross in love must give way to the resurrection. So Stephen Covey talked about this as a paradigm shift. He says, yes, changing actions and methods can bring incremental change. And many of us have changed our actions and methods in light of the Christian morality that we've received. And in so doing, we have received incremental change in our lives. But it's that deep change in values that gives the quantum leap. And that happens when you receive new perception and a whole new expectation, and that changes how you live. And so that is the aim of our Holy Week, as we trace the ways of the cross liturgically, to see Jesus more clearly, to have our expectation raised, to see his love for us, so that we can embody that love that always gives way to the resurrection. Do you believe that? We're called to believe that more deeply now. St. Athanasius emphasized that this is proof that Jesus is God, is that by meditating on these things, it does have its effect. It does create paradigm shifts. It does create quantum leaps. In a paraphrase of what he said, St. Athanasius said, if Christ is not God in unity with the Father, then reading the gospel, meditating on his perfections, and rejoicing in his indestructible life would have no effect on his followers. But if Jesus is the very God the apostles boasted in, and he is, then the God upon whom we set our gaze impresses himself on us and changes us. So the question for you and me is, how will that happen for us this Holy Week? How will those tectonic plates shift in your heart and mine? Do you know where you need to change? Well, ask this. If your coworkers could explain your values by how they see you live, could they project from how you live the Jesus of the cross? Not just suffering, but love of the cross that will lead to the resurrection. How about your own family members? That's what we're after, a life of that integrity. And it happens when we see him as he is. And that creates a new paradigm, a new expectation, a quantum leap, and our lives are transformed. So I invite you to begin to make a commitment to have that paradigm shift affect your life in new and profound ways. Begin now, today, here, as you receive communion, as you're waiting, as you receive, and as you meditate in your pew. God will give you an idea of where you need to go as he gives you a new vision of who he is. And then may that paradigm shift affect the very substance of our lives.